Good morning, everybody. Welcome to our worship. Please take a seat. There's one or two notices before we get going. First of all, after this morning's service, there's a short church meeting to discuss a couple of property matters. Agendas are available at the back of the church, so if you could pick one of those up while you're having your cup of tea and then sit back down, and Christine's chairing that meeting, I believe, and it will be a nice short one. I'm sure it will. Of course, we're now coming into Holy Week, so there's lots of events and services to talk about. I just want to remind you of those. Thursday evening, we've got our Maundy Thursday Communion service at 7 o'clock, a service of readings and music and communion. A lot of work's been put into this service, so please make every effort to attend if you can. On Good Friday, there's the Churches Together Walk of Witness, meeting at St. Peter's Roman Catholic Church at 11 o'clock, walking downtown to the Market Square for the 11:30 service, and then back here afterwards for refreshments, hot cross buns. Now, apparently, the weather forecast at the moment isn't that great for Friday, so if it is wet, we'll be having the service in here. But we do need help, donate some hot cross buns if you're able to come and prepare them, to butter them, to serve the tea and coffee, to put the church out and put it back together again. So if you could help at all, any of that, see one of the elders or Rachel or Rob. We'll be getting here earlier to sort the church out and do the preparation, and then we'll need help afterwards as well. So all of that on Good Friday. Easter Sunday, next Sunday, we've got a 9 o'clock breakfast communion. Now, I know next weekend is we move the clocks forward, so you're going to lose an hour. So you need to go to bed especially early on Saturday to be here for 9 o'clock for the breakfast communion. I believe there's a sign-up list for that as well, is there, or is there not? There's not. We're going to put a piece of paper on the board. Pardon? Oh, any ideas, rough numbers? Who's going to be here on breakfast communion? So we've got a few. Double that and we'll be all right. And then 10:45 next Sunday, our Easter morning celebration service. And then the only other notice I've got is there's a St. George's Day craft event, which Rachel is involved in. Again, another sign-up list for that. That's on Saturday the 20th of April. So if you can help with that, please sign up. We'll see Rachel. I think that's everything, unless anyone else has got anything else. We're delighted to have Steve with us this morning. If you remember, Steve was due to preach in, I think it was January, but was unable to. So we're really pleased that he can be back today, and we look forward to hearing you preach. Thank you, Steve.
Good morning, everybody. And it's. I apologise for the false start. It's good to see you all here this morning, and indeed it's really nice to come back and walk into the church again. It's been probably just over 12 months now since I was here, so it's good to be here. And to start with, I'd like to apologise for letting you down in January, but I did have an awful bad tooth. One of the molars right at the back on the bottom here. And I went to the dentist, went to my dentist because I was in such pain. And he looked at it and says, oh, your tooth has split into two. It had split straight down the middle. And he said, it normally sits like that, but when I bite on it, it's going like that. And you've got the nerve down there. He says, that's why you're in such agony. So he says, what we need to do is, we can't repair it. He said, I'm afraid we need to take it out. So I said, yep, okay, no problem. Anyway, this is my regular dentist. And he numbed me all up. And he started tugging and pulling. And he says, I'm just trying to loosen it before I get it out. So I'm saying, yeah, okay. I'm thinking, oh, please, God, do it. And all of a sudden, I heard a big crack. And he says, oh, your tooth has broken. He said, I can't do it now, I need to refer you to a specialist. So, which he did, and a week later he padded it all up so that I could, well, I couldn't bite on it, but I could eat this side of my mouth. And a week later I went to see the oral surgeon, as he was called, and he looked at it and says, oh, yes, yes, it won't be painful. He said, we can soon get that out. I said, oh, brilliant, go ahead. He numbed me all up, started going at it, and there's me going, oh, it was so painful. He says, oh, we'll give you some more anaesthetic. So he gave me another injection, tried again, no good. So he gave me another injection, and he tried again, and says, no, it's not going to come. It was so painful. I mean, he gave me a fourth load. I mean, I was just, this side of my face, I just couldn't feel. And I thought, right, this is going to work this time. And as I sat in the dentist chair, I just sat there and prayed, Lord, this tooth has got to come out. Please do your bit on it. And the dentist was there. At one time, I thought he was going to put his knee on my chest because he was pulling it so much. I was grabbing hold of the dentist's chair with sweat rolling out of my palms. And all of a sudden, I felt it come. And he says, oh, he said, that's half of it. And I thought, oh, dear Lord, I can't go through this for another. Fortunately, the other half did come out quite easily. But I was so pleased I'd rang David and said, I'm not going to be able to come. Because for a few days, I just couldn't open my mouth. I mean, I couldn't speak. And for a few days, it was sore for a couple of weeks. But hey, it's all okay now. I'm fine. I've got to get up there, which my tongue keeps going into. but everything's fine. So thank you, David, for inviting me over for today. And now we're going to worship God, thankfully, on this Palm Sunday. And it's a lovely day out there. The sun's shining. It's a little bit chilly, but the sun is shining and we have Palm Sunday. And for our opening devotions, I bring a few verses from Psalm 24. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates, lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is he, this King of glory? The Lord Almighty, he is the King of glory. And so we sing our first hymn. And it's, you are the King of glory, you are the Prince of peace, you are the Lord of heaven and earth, you're the Son of righteousness. Let's stand and sing, you are the King of glory. And now let's come to the Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Lord God, on this day of celebration, we come to thank you for the coming of Jesus. We remember his entry into Jerusalem, and we thank you for his courage. We recall the events of the week ahead, and we thank you for his dedication. We reflect on the agony of Good Friday, and we thank you for his forgiving love. We are reminded of the crowd shouting, Hosanna! And we thank you for all that you who have praised him over the years and who help us worship today. Lord God, on this day of celebration, we dedicate ourselves in your service like the people of Jerusalem. We greet you and shout your praise, but not with cloaks and palm branches alone, for we offer all that we have and are, all that we have and may yet become, in thanks for all that we have received from you. We bring ourselves to you. Bless us in your service. Lord God, on this day of dedication, we thank you for Jesus. And now let's bring our prayers together as we say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And now we're going to sing again, and we're going to sing Make Way, Make Way. Make way, make way for Christ the King in splendour arrives. Fling wide the gates and welcome him into your lives. And during this hymn, you're all going to receive a palm cross. So let's stand and sing Make Way, Make Way. Thank you. Thank you for the distribution of the palm crosses. It's a real nice touch on this Palm Sunday. It's fabulous. And now we have our first Bible reading. I don't know who's been... Oh, thank you, Julie. And it's Zechariah chapter 9, verses 9 to 13. Thank you.
The coming of Zion's King. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will take away the chariots from Ephraim and the war horses from Jerusalem, and the battle bow will be broken. He will proclaim peace to the nations. His rule will extend from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. As for you, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will free your prisoners from the waterless pit. Return to your fortress, O prisoners of hope. Even now I announce that I will restore twice as much to you. I will bend Judah as I bend my bow and fill it with Ephraim. I will rouse your sons, O Zion, against your sons, O Greece, and make you like a warrior's sword.
Thank you. The prophecy from Zechariah. And we sing again. Ride on, ride on in majesty. Hark all the tribes, Hosanna cry. O Saviour meek, pursue your road with palms and scattered garments strode. Let's stand and sing, ride on, ride on in majesty.
Thank you.
And now our gospel reading from Mark chapter 11, reading verses 1 to 11. Thank you, Ian.
Morning. Right. The triumphal entry. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you doing this?' tell him, 'The Lord needs it and will send it back here shortly.'" They went and found a colt outside in the street, tied at a doorway. As they untied it, some people standing there asked, "What are you doing untying that colt?" They answered, as Jesus had told them to, and the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest." Jesus entered Jerusalem and went to the temple. He looked round at everything, but since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. Thanks be to God.
We heard the prophecy from Zechariah, then that was Mark's account of that very first Palm Sunday. And now let's come to the Lord in prayer again. Let us pray. Living Lord, we see your tears in the daily news, appealing to us in helpless, hungry, dehydrated children, and in the bitter anguish of their parents. In the Middle East, in parts of Africa and Asia, challenging our complacency through those who are unprotected. You made us one family. Lord, show us how to care. You are Christ, the refugee, escaping violence and injustice, oppression and war, earthquake and famine, seeking asylum, needing shelter, food and clothing, and challenging us to work for peace and justice. You made us one family. Lord, show us how to care. You are Christ, the homeless on our streets. We pass you by, aware of our guilt, but not knowing what to do. You made us one family. Lord, show us how to care. Christ, the prisoner, suffering the humiliation of a prison cell, longing for release. for letters and visitors, for words of encouragement and hope, for acceptance and love. You made us one family. Lord, show us how to care. Christ, you came as the stranger, a newcomer to our town and maybe our church. You come as a visitor from another part of our country or another part of the world. You challenge our insularity and prejudice, our indifference and apathy, hoping that we shall respond with love and respect, welcoming you into our fellowship and with the hospitality of our homes. Lord, you made us one family. Lord, show us how to care. Lord Jesus Christ, you are here in our community, in the sick and the housebound, the bereaved, lonely and depressed, in the mentally ill and all who are handicapped, the battered wife and the abused child. You are unemployed. You are here in our midst, longing for our time, our understanding, our friendship, and our love. You made us one family. Lord, show us how to care. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. And now I'll ask the stewards to take up the offertory, please. Dear Lord and gracious loving Father, we bring these, our monetary offerings today. And not only these in cash, but those that have been paid straight into the bank. But Lord, we not only bring our monetary offering, we bring our lives as well. And Lord, we offer them both for the service of your kingdom, here in this place and beyond. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. And so we sing again. And I I thought today we should sing some hosannas. And by the time you've finished singing this hymn, you'll be sung some hosannas. So let's sing hosanna, sing hosanna, sing hosanna to the King of Kings. Sing hosanna, sing hosanna, sing hosanna to the King. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Thank you. Well, I'm going to have a drink of water. I don't know about you. Yeah, just sit a minute and get your breath back. It is good to be here with you again. As I say, it must be just over 12 months. I think it was January of last year when I was here last. So it's good to walk in and see the old place again, as you might say. But it'll be 3 years come this summer since I left Hinckley. I went back to Stockingford, and Andrew was here, and you prayed me out of the church, and you prayed for me on the steps there as I was going out into the world. But I knew where I was going. I was going back to my history, if you like, back to Stockingford. I'm sure the prayers that were given on that day certainly put me on the right track to where I was going. I bring you the sincere Christian greetings of everyone at Stockingford Congregational Church. They do ask me to bring their wishes to you. I think I could say at the moment we're holding our own, numbers-wise. We're getting about 15 or 16 on a regular basis. We're still only meeting first, third and fifth Sundays, which is a big thorn in my side. But it seems to work. And, you know, if people will come on those Sundays, then, yeah, okay. I usually sort something out for the second and the fourth Sunday for myself. But we had a funeral on Friday of one of our members who sadly passed away. So we are one short now. Numbers-wise, how I put it is, our doors are still open and we're still worshipping. And for that, I give thanks. And for as long as we can open our front doors and we can worship, then we will. It's a stupid thing to say. Our problem is we're all getting older. And it's nobody gets younger, do they? but we are. I mean, we've got three of our members now that are in their 90s. We've probably got, seven or eight that are well in their 80s. We've got a few in their 70s, and there's two of us in our 60s. And that's it. My concern is that in a few years' time, they'll probably still want to be coming to church, but they're unable to do the admin stuff that keeps the church open and going. I am church secretary, so I do all that sort of work. We have a lady who does our church treasurer, but she is now 86. Still very, very able. And our end of year comes at the end of March, and she will produce a set of accounts at our AGM in April. So, you know, she's still very able, but she is 86, and it's her husband that died, whose funeral we had on Friday. We don't have a minister at Stockingford, as many of you know, so our pulpit is filled by outside people. So we have a pulpit supply secretary who had a birthday last week, and she was 88. She had a stroke in February, I think it was, early February, and it took the sight of her left eye. She has no sight now in her left eye. So I'm wondering when we come to our AGM in April whether she will be saying, I can't do it anymore. And the problem is, who is going to do that? And that is the issue that we will have in, you know, a few years' time. But hey, as I say, at the moment, our doors are open and we're worshipping, and I give thanks to God for that. And as long as we can, that will continue at Stockingford Congregational Church. But they do send their love. There can be a pain sometimes, but hey, they're a lovely bunch, really. And I'm sure they say the same about me as church secretary. Church secretaries are not, always the best liked people in the church. when I, you know, you're trying to get people to do things, and we need to do this. We've just been through a period where we did all our safeguarding because the Congregational Federation, which we're a part of, said that to remain affiliated to the Federation, every church must have a safeguarding policy. So we went through that, and we've got our certificate now, and we've got the safeguarding. So that was our big work that we did over the last 12 months. And of course, the thing that is said, I mean, we all know what safeguarding is about. But when you've got sort of 15, 16 people who know each other very, very well, who are great friends with each other, and you're going through the safeguarding, and they said, but that doesn't apply to us. It wouldn't happen here. And that is the issue that you have to get over in, you know, these smaller churches. It wouldn't happen here. So, you know, I, for one, had to say, well, no, perhaps not amongst ourselves. I mean, I see one or two of you shaking your heads. But that is what, when you've got people of 80 and 90 years old, you know, that is what you get. And, well, we got through it. We've done it. It's there. But that, as church secretary, was somewhat of an issue for us. But we got there. This is Palm Sunday, the day that opens the door for what we know as Holy Week, the event of Jesus entering Jerusalem is as crucial to us today as it was on that first Palm Sunday all those years ago. This is true because this story is about how people understand Jesus. It's about what people expect of Jesus. It's what people want Jesus to do and what he is to be. From the first day of Jesus' ministry, people were asking, just who is this? When they saw him act in some dramatic way, the question was spoken out loud. When he stilled the storm, the disciples asked, who is he? And we read Luke chapter 8, verses 22 to 25. One day, Jesus said to his disciples, let's go over to the other side of the lake. So they got into a boat and set out. As they sailed, he fell asleep. A squall came down on the lake, so that the boat was being swamped, and they were in great danger. The disciples went and woke him, saying, Master, Master, we're going to drown. He got up and rebuked the wind and the raging waters. The storm subsided, and all was calm. Where is your faith? He asked the disciples. In fear and amazement, they asked one another, who is this? He commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him. Sometimes the questions were asked, and sometimes Jesus himself asked, who do people say that I am? I'm going into Mark chapter 8, verses 27 to 29. Jesus and his disciples went on to the villages around Caesarea Philippi. On the way, he asked them, "Who do people say that I am?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say that I am?" Peter answered, "You are the Christ." Jesus warned them not to tell anyone about him. You can imagine the disciples wondering what to say. But thankfully, Peter, it had to be Peter, didn't it? Thankfully, he was there and he answered in the correct way. Perhaps the disciples breathed a sigh of relief, but they still wondered what it meant. If we continue to read in Mark's Gospel, we see Jesus going on to explain the meaning of persecution, rejection, and ultimately his death. Peter, of course, spoke up again and said, "It cannot mean that. That's not what I want it to mean." And if we read Mark 8, 31 to 33, he then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. He spoke plainly about this, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when Jesus turned and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter. "Get behind me, Satan," he said. "You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." The same struggle continued as Jesus made his way into Jerusalem on that first Palm Sunday. The struggle continued for the disciples. Who is this and what does it mean? The struggle continued for the crowds. Who is this? And even for some of us today, we struggle. We say, "Who is this Jesus?" We know who we want him to be. But is that who he really is? That's why the symbols of today are so important. The crowds called Jesus King. They sang hosannas to him. They called him the Son of David. They confessed that he is coming in the name of God. This day, they could have made him king. This day was a coronation. This day is all that. But is it? Note, Jesus is not riding on the back of a white stallion that you would expect a king entering a city to come in on. He's on the back of a donkey colt. He's marching to Jerusalem to die. We could call that a scandal if we didn't know different. Even as the palms are waved and the songs are sung, the cross stands in the distance. But is that who we want Jesus to be? It's not what the crowd of that first Palm Sunday wanted. Do we want a Jesus who will take away all our pain? Do we want a Jesus who will come and change the system? Do we want a Jesus who will crush the people who don't treat us fairly? Do we want a Jesus who will give us just what we want? A Jesus who gives us what we think we need. But Jesus reminds us that we really don't know what we really need. He tells us that he is the only one who knows what we really need. Just like all those people standing along the streets in Jerusalem on that first Palm Sunday, we know exactly who we want Jesus to be. We want a king who will do what we want. We want a saviour to rescue us from what we cannot stand. But, we neglect the fact that he rode in on the back of a donkey. Sure, he is the king, but not the kind of king that we have in mind. So he rides into Jerusalem and marches straight to the cross, and he expects us to follow him there. If we read Mark 8:34-35, then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it." Perhaps that is not who we want him to be, but that is exactly who he is. Who do you want Jesus to be today? Maybe that's an interesting question. But it really doesn't matter. What's important is not who we want Jesus to be. The important thing is who Jesus really is. Lamb of God, crucified for our sins. He is God in the flesh. He is the one willing to pour out his own life as a ransom for many. He is the one who is King. And Jesus is just who Thomas said he was. My Lord and my God. And if we just read in John chapter 20. Luke. John chapter 20, verses 24 to 28. Now Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." As we enter Holy Week and head towards that awful Good Friday and then the glorious Easter Sunday, make sure you know Jesus for who he really is. And you can say, "My Lord and my God." Not only today, or on Good Friday, or on Easter Sunday, but for every day of our earthly lives. By doing that, we will have Jesus exactly where we need him to be in our lives. My Lord and my God. Amen. And so we come to our closing hymn. All glory, Lord, and honour to thee, Redeemer King, to whom the lips of children made sweet hosannas sing. Go with us, Heavenly Father, in the power of your Spirit. Strengthen and encourage us in all that we do to worship and serve you. Guide us through the coming week, and never let our shouts of praise waver in the face of suffering or despair. We ask it in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. And now shall we say the grace to each other. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.
Good morning, all. Would you like to join us in singing Happy Birthday to Betty, who is a significant age today?